Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Shit built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
To reality and relationships. And when you hear that song, you know it must be Thursday night. Oh my gosh, I am KL Belvin, and on the line with me should be my lovely co-host, the expecting Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Are you there, love?
Hey darling, how are you?
I am good. Oh man, Thursday is finally here and people have been calling and checking in. Now ladies and gentlemen, if you have tuned in via the computer at blogtalkradio.com/GQBalance, or if you have called in at 646-200-3838 so you can hear the great news of us telling you what we are going to have, God willing, we ain't telling. Not yet, anyway. You had to know. We wasn't just going to blurt that out there.
That wasn't going to be the first thing we talked about.
Nah, not at all. Yes, we are going to get to that, and trust me, we will. But you're going to sit back and enjoy what we do on a regular Thursday night, and then we'll get to the wonderful, momentous news that we found out after the sonogram at that luxurious hotel slash hospital that we went to. That was crazy. But we'll talk about all that a little bit later on in the show. But I do want to thank you for tuning in, because even if you just tuned in to hear that information, Tiffany and I are appreciative of that. I posted just a little while ago that we live our lives transparently, not because we are vain, not because we just want folks to pay attention to what we do. We do it so when folks pay attention to what we do, we can actually give credit to the Lord, as well as to show folks the things that the Lord is doing in our lives, good and bad. These are the tremendous moments that we're dealing with tonight. But we put everything out there, from the passings to everything. And so part of that is because we love the support. We also have our business and businesses, ventures, connected to everything that we do with our marriage and our books and everything. And, of course, it's to help other people. We really want folks to be encouraged that marriage is a positive, positive thing, that marriage is something that God smiles upon, and that even if you aren't married, that significant other for you is out there. So we hope that everything that we bring to the table will enlighten you and encourage you to continue to look towards being in a real fantastic union, because it is fantastic. And with a baby on the way, and it's something that we prayed about, I'm not going to get into all that. I don't get all mushy, because I was getting real mushy in the sonogram room, but we'll talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about that whole setup when we get to that. But, honey, as we do every week, how was your week? And I know you're going to toss in a little bit about the visit, but go ahead. How was your week this week?
Weeks have been calm. It's funny because I wanted to mention something that very funny that happened early in the week, and I shared with KL that I received a text message from an unknown number. It wasn't a number that was saved in my phone. So when I looked at it, I didn't recognize it. It was, of course, not a New York area code. And the message basically said, "Hey, what's up?" Now, over the years, I've never actually lost a phone. Most of the time, what happens, I'll either get a new phone because the new technology came out, or my old phone stopped working, and unfortunately, I lose my contact. And people text me, and I don't know who it is because their name is not coming up. So I'll say, "I'm sorry, I don't know who this is," and they'll let me know. So this particular text comes through, "Hey, what's up?" And I said, "Hey, who's this?" And the person tells me who they are. I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to blow them up. And I don't recognize the name. So I responded, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." So they responded back, "Isn't this Tiffany Braxton?" And I said, "Yes." And they respond back, "We have Facebook friends." "We have Facebook friends in common because we used to go to the same high school." So I said, "Okay." So he sends me a picture, and he says, "This is what I look like." And he tells me he graduated in 89. And I'm thinking, okay, I did know people from the class of 89, but I graduated in 92. I said, "I'm sorry, I just don't remember." I start to realize that this is not somebody I know, but basically somebody who took my phone number off of the memorial flyer for my mom when she passed and decided that he would give me a call. And I'm thinking, how crazy is that? It's not that we knew each other. It just happened that he saw the memorial flyer someplace on Facebook, maybe a mutual friend, yes, that we went to high school with, and then he texts me how he sent me a Facebook request to be friends. And I'm thinking, we're not even Facebook friends. How do you text somebody that you don't know, that did not invite you to text them, did not invite you to call them, and act like we buddies for the past 15 years? So it was really annoying that he did it. But I didn't want to blow him up. But I just want to say, guys, don't be that thirsty. It is, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense to me that he would
do that.
Stay
thirsty, my friends.
don't be that thirsty.
Stay
that
thirsty,
you
my friend.
Text somebody that you don't know as if I, and it made it seem like it was okay. As if I said, hey, give me a call. Don't do it.
Well,
like,
you know what? Listen, do it 10 times and get lucky once. Hey, you paid. So, you know, it's
maybe
like the
it
dude.
Works.
It's like the dude who goes around at the club and asks every chick something nasty and gets slapped 100 times, but the one chick who goes, cool. He good money. So, you know, you never know. He figured, hey, what's I'll take a shot in the dark. She kind of cute. See what the deal is, you know.
Come on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you have a chick out there that's letting some random dude text them and something comes
you know
to
there
him,
is. You know there is. You know there is.
It is, because obviously he did it. And he's not a bad-looking guy. I'm not going to even front. He was a good-looking guy. But if there are chicks out there that allow random dudes to just text them or call them or send them a Facebook message and you think, oh, that's cute, he likes me, I'm sorry, get a clue. Get a clue. Cause even if I wasn't married, I still, that's like some stalker type stuff. For somebody to call you out the blue like you gave them your number. I didn't give you my number. Anyway.
Very true. I happen to find it. What else is going on? Tell them why you mad, son. Tell them why you mad.
I wasn't
mad. What else is going on?
You know, I have levels of dissatisfaction, so I wasn't quite mad. I was just annoyed, and I found it funny that I have a stalker. But,
well, you don't want to stalk too close. I do have room in the trunk.
I have a big dog that take care of that.
I'm trying to tell you. You know, he might just have to find out the hard way. Duct tape is real hard to bite through, but anyway. Go right ahead, dog. What else is going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, I have some good news. And, you know, finally,
yeah.
I didn't get a chance to tell you about it because I got an email that I have actually a paid gig to be in an independent movie. And
how am I just hearing about this?
Because I it just slipped my mind. You know, honey, you know I take one day at a time. And sometimes I just forget stuff. You know I'm forgetful. I'm absent-minded. It happens. I have to write things down. But I did get an email asking me to appear in an independent film that's being shot on Saturday, actually in my area where we live. So I'm going to show
you want
on
a pregnant
Saturday.
Woman?
It's a church scene. So
okay.
They want regular folks.
Say.
What happened?
It's paid.
Yes, that's the first thing I said, honey. It's a paid gig. It would be no way in the world that I would take my five-month pregnant self to anyone's film shoot if I wasn't getting paid. And, yes, it is a paid
nice.
Gig.
Nice. They need a big goal?
I'm excited about that. And I'll be on set on Saturday in my church attire if I can find something to fit.
Look at you. Do your thing, dog. That's great news. Congratulations, baby, dog.
Thank you. I'm also happy to say, like Kale mentioned, we went to do the ultrasound to see the baby, but the day after I had to go for a regular OBGYN appointment, and I was so excited that my blood pressure was normal for the first time in a very, very long time. I am taking medication to regulate it because it's not considered high, but it is considered elevated. So I take medication because they don't want me to go into preeclampsia, which is very dangerous when you're pregnant because it could actually cause death if it turns into eclampsia. So I was very happy to see that my blood pressure was lowered. I'm working on different things. Kayla and I both are working on different things to get back in better health. So as far as walking and eating better, and we're actually cooking more at home, which I should speak to my husband now because he screamed on me yesterday. I have to share this. He screamed on me about the way I cooked dinner last night. Now, mind you, I really appreciate it because Kale comes to pick me up from work every day, and I know it's a check because he works in
That's about to come to an end of a
How it comes to an end later in the pregnancy.
Yeah, right. Keep talking about me. Go ahead.
He leaves Brooklyn to come to Queens to pick me up, and then we have to head back to Brooklyn where we live. So it's very, I know it's very difficult on him because he's had a long day dealing with kids and everything, so I appreciate that very much. Usually on our way home, KO, regarding business and different things that he talks to, and I usually fall asleep in the passenger seat while he talks. So we pulled up to our apartment building. He parked the car, and I was ready to go upstairs because I figured I'm hungry. I know he's hungry. Let me go upstairs and make something to eat. So I came upstairs, and we haven't gone grocery shopping, which we need to do very soon, probably this week.
I love how you tell this jaded story to fit, but it's all right. I'll get my part in. Go ahead. I will tell you. I'm not good. I'll explain my side. Go ahead. That's what
you
say.
You were on the phone.
Yes, I was.
Let me go upstairs and start cooking before I get too tired. And we had mixed vegetables. We had some potatoes and we had some onions. We don't have any protein other than some beef sausage, but I really didn't want beef
protein.
Sausage. Okay. I didn't want beef sausage, and I thought beef sausage with that mixture, it just didn't go. So, you know, let me mix the vegetables and the onions and the potatoes. I boiled the potatoes. I made a very good mix. It was delicious to me. I thought it was a nice meal. Kale, after 2 hours of being downstairs talking on the phone, he comes
I'm going to the store for you.
Yes, he did go to the store because I wanted some milk because, you know, the baby needs some milk. So he came upstairs after 2 hours of talking on the phone and begins to bark on me because he doesn't like the way I prepared the mixed vegetables and the potatoes and onions. Well, you sounded like Ike Turner last night. I was about to get my Tina Turner on. It was like, are you joking? And I just said, is he joking? He sat downstairs for 2 hours. I came upstairs after a long day of work, 5 months pregnant, and I cooked a meal with what we had because we had to go grocery shopping, and he's going to yell at me. And then turned around and started making demands. Can you make me a sausage? Put it on wheat bread. Can I get some mustard? That wasn't how it was.
Make me sound horrible. Yes.
I know people
tell me,
tell me when
I can go. Tell me when I can tell my side. Yes, I hear everything you're saying. Yes, I was barking about the food, but go ahead. And yes, a 5 month pregnant woman was cooking and all of that. Go ahead. Yep.
And I didn't have a problem doing it because I had the energy to do it. I realized that later on in the pregnancy, I'm not going to have all the energy to do this. So I said, I have the energy to do it. Let me do it before I go to sleep. And I knew you had a long day of work. I wanted to prepare a nice meal for my husband. But no, my husband was totally ungrateful. I just wanted to get that off my chest. And you laugh because you know it's true.
Are you done?
I'm done.
All right. Well, first of all, my week was pretty good. And I'll get back to my week. I just want to address the Ike Turner-ish situation.
You don't want to talk about your week?
I will get to my week in a second. Yes, definitely. Yes, I was downstairs conducting business talking and had been down there for almost 2 hours. Yes, I did go to the store when I got the text about needing some milk and stuff like that. And yes, I did come in to find that there was an attempt at a meal. That you put down. All of that is fantastic, but what I want to do is you have to paint a better picture with the lopsided story that you're talking about.
You always say my story is lopsided.
Hold on a second. It's my time, Tina. May I please, anime? Can I do this?
Yes.
Thank you. Earlier, when we were in the truck? Did I not say, did we not have a conversation about what we could have for dinner? Yes or no?
Yes, based on what we had in the house. Because
okay.
We had
I told you a particular way that I would like to cook or what I thought I could make tonight, and you didn't like that, right? Okay. Now, we still hadn't decided on what we were actually going to have simply because we did discuss that there was no protein, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I understand that you made an attempt to make dinner, which is fine. I appreciate that. But the way that you made the dinner is all I said when I came in. I said, why'd you mix everything together? I really don't like it like that. And I said, we didn't even discuss what we were actually going to have because what do you
know? How are we going to
Let I finish. Don't interrupt me again, but we're going to have to go to commercial. Normally, when you're going to cook, you will surprise me at times. Yes, I get that. But normally, what do you do? What do you do if we haven't had a conversation about dinner? What do you normally
do? I'll ask you, what would you like, or how would you like something prepared?
So you didn't do that last night. So when I came in to see what was there,
I just said
I didn't want that, or I didn't, you know, I said I didn't want that.
You know,
and
I didn't even mention the fact that you were going to order Chinese food after I cooked.
Because I wanted something that I wanted. I wanted something different than what you think. But did I not apologize?
Yes, you did.
Did I not eat the food and compliment you on how the food tasted?
Yes, you did.
I asked you for the sausage, the wheat bread, the mustard, and all of that. Why?
Because you wanted a protein.
No, because I was grading test papers last night. But originally I said, no, I'll do it, right?
That's true. But
and then I said, but baby, I'm grading these papers. Can you take care of that for me? I wasn't being negative. So then you can't throw up, you can't throw out there, excuse me, that I made you cook this stuff and demanded the wheat bread and mustard when I am actually working at the time that I asked you to help me. That's what I meant about your lopsided stories. You made it sound like I was in here threatening you and the baby. Everybody gets something to eat when I was actually doing things. I was a little loud earlier. I'll give you that. So all I'm saying is when you tell the story, tilt the scales to what really happened, not to what you were saying. That's all I am saying. Now, may I talk about my week since you got me sound like an abusive husband?
Sure, go ahead.
Actually, my week was plain. Actually, at this point in the game, when you get to late October, the weeks kind of just start to fuse into each other. There's really no days off. I think we have Election Day and Veterans Day and then nothing else until Christmas. So this is really just a long stretch for teachers and you're dealing with all the things you're dealing with. The week was pretty good. I am just inundated with, now that I'm back in the classroom and teaching full-time, I was a dean last year, so the paperwork and stuff was different, where this year I do have to do much more at home. And it does make it very difficult when trying to take care of your lessons, trying to take care of your grading, as well as trying to get in the Braven publishing business that I have to do and everything else that's connected to that, as well as trying to deal with other brothers and sisters that you're doing business with. And so those are things that can become very hectic. You know, my students sent Tiffa a wonderful congratulations because they've been badgering me.
They were so cute.
About wanting to know what the gender of the baby is. They've all had their own interpretation of how you know what the baby's going to be, and I think that's even funnier. That I should have videotaped because it would have been hilarious from what she looked like and what she's eating and all this other stuff. But the kids did turn her up.
You know what's funny? They get that from adults because you have an idea how many adults said to me, oh, if your hair is growing, you're having this. If your hair is falling out, you're having that. I couldn't tell you what my hair looked like. I haven't done it in a month. It's braided, and I wear a head wrap. So I can't even tell you what my hair is doing. And I had someone even say, oh, the way your belly shape tells if you're having a girl or boy. And then somebody looked at me and said, oh, your belly shape funny, I can't tell. How do you tell a pregnant woman? You know, I'm glad I don't suffer from low self-esteem. Because how do you tell a pregnant woman that has gained possibly how much weight and feeling who knows what, and you tell her you're shaped funny? Your belly is shaped funny.
Yeah, that one I didn't get. I was like, okay. But, I mean, the old wives' tales are what they are. But it was just interesting because I think one of the things that I did see this week from the young men as well as the young ladies, they seem to take such a liking, or they showed so much enjoyment to the idea that I was excited about what I was having, especially the young girls, because I am that father figure to many of them, and I don't take that lightly, as well as to being a role model to the young men, seeing them react as if they were having a brother or sister. Actually, one of the kids asked me today, she was crying, and I said, what are you crying about? You gonna stop all that crying early in the morning, or I'm going to have to adopt you. She said, would you? And then the other girl said, I said, what are you doing to your face? She said, I'm trying to act like I'm crying too, so you can adopt me too. And I started laughing. I said, well, I can't adopt all you. She said, well, adopt me and don't adopt her. And they started arguing about who I should adopt. It was too funny. But I don't take that lightly because I know the role that I play to these young folks. And it's interesting because all these surrogate brothers and sisters, they were really excited. And, I mean, especially the girls. The girls were running over, tell me, don't tell everybody else, tell me. I'm like, I can't, I'll tell you later on. And I said I was going to tell one class, and one class was arguing that they're my better class. But it was just interesting to see them taking interest.
Oh, they were fighting over you?
Yes, but fighting over the situation. But what was very, very heartwarming was seeing the fact that they loved the fact that it was husband and wife. Seeing that, they would say, I know your wife is excited, I know you're excited, and seeing them react to something that they're not used to seeing. And that's what we have to consider when we expose our children to things, is we have to expose our children to the things we want them to aspire to become or to have. And many of them don't come from that type of environment. I know I didn't. I know Chip talks about it often, and we talk about it on a regular. And actually, one of the things that we're going to discuss later tonight is our Making Marriage Cool Again seminar, is because it was designed to create the very environment that we want these children to hopefully want for themselves. So then, you know, when they finally said their congratulations, did the video, now it was time to get back to work. And so, you know, the week is what it is. I'm just on my grind, trying to better myself and of course, trying to make myself healthy. I've joined Planet Fitness. I'm going to hit the gym, I think, at night. I think the way my schedule is working out, I think working out at 10 to 11 or 9 to 10. Huh?
I said I'm going to, for everyone listening.
That's fine.
I'm going to be walking on the treadmill because my doctor says that I need to walk.
But did the doctor say you can walk on a treadmill? Because there's a risk and all this stuff. If anything, you and I can go and walk in a park, or we can go walk somewhere, or we have to find a place. We can go to York College and walk around the indoor track. I'm still alumni, and we can go there instead of walking around the treadmill, because there's a danger to you and the baby.
Walking at a fast pace? You're walking at a comfortable
but there's always risk on a machine, simply because anything could happen to the belt, anything could happen, and you could fall. And so there's things that you need to consider before you do all that. I'm just telling you, the doctor said you can walk. You ain't sitting around a treadmill. Anyway, we will talk about that. So join Planet Fitness, because one of the things that I'm doing is, like I said, is getting ready for a strong 2014 with the baby, with the business, with the changes that's made. I mean, just things that I'm trying to do, as well as, you know, it's official. November 10th at Church of the Rock in Brooklyn, Church at the Rock in Brooklyn, 92nd Street between Avenue J and K. Actually, I got to get the actual address.
Is it
1280
seconds?
I believe so. I will get the address in a second. It is 1288 East 92nd Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11236, Church at the Rock. And the baptism will be at the second service, which is 1130 service. And so I will read my testimony, and into the water I go. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to this ritual. It's not that I don't believe that I'm saved, but I believe that this is my my thing to do for me to connect me closer to my faith. And it's just more along the lines of what I'm trying to do as the protector and the person in this relationship that is going to be out front to make things better for Tiff and our baby, as well as the different things that I have going on. So all of these are steps necessary to get straight for 2014 and to move forward in whatever direction the Lord is going to have me. So the week has been good. Been getting hit with the text messages, the inbox
and
messages.
Inboxes. Oh, my goodness. So many people texting
me inboxing. Everything. Come on. How come you won't say nothing? Yo, what is it? What y'all having? Now, let's keep this perfectly clear. Yes, I did tell my mother, and yes, I did tell my father. They are the grandparents, so of course I'm going to tell them. But of course, they were sworn to secrecy.
And I told my father also.
They were sworn to secrecy because we are having tonight's show, and we are getting to that. Don't think that we're milking it and dragging it out. We're about to get into the seminar, so you better sit back, buckle up. Because we're going to go right into that because this is, we wanted to get right to part two. And let me just give you a little recap of last week. So put the baby stuff on hold. We're going to get to that a little bit later, probably next half an hour or so, a little later. We're going to talk about it, the big surprise and everything like that. Okay. If you don't know, Tiff and I created a seminar called the Making Marriage Cool Again Seminar. I decided to use the skills that I have. I have a master's degree in curriculum writing. I wanted to create something that was going to offer a way for married couples to make their marriage cool if they've lost some of that coolness, or to help couples that are just coming into marriage some blueprints, a blueprint or some pointers that was going to help make their marriage strong. These are not the end-all, the be-all to marital tips. I'm not that vain, neither is Tiff. But what we wanted to do was just give back some of what we have, because many folks come over and they congratulate us on what they see. They enjoy watching us talk with us. They always say we have such a great time with each other. So, again, in an effort to help other people and to serve the Lord, we wanted to give back a little bit of the insight that we have learned in our 13 years together, as well as we've been married for
It's been that long,
2000. And we got married in 2007, so having dated for so long and then being married for close to 7 years, we've come to know each other, as well as going through many highs and lows. We lost a child 7 years ago. We've had the negatives of cheating. We went through that before. We've had great times. We've lost parents. We've had the highs and lows everybody goes through in a relationship, and we still come out in a great place.
Financial issues.
money just... Other people using money they weren't supposed to, other people not paying, and from family, friends, bad business. But at the end of the day, we're still blessed. The business is still up and running. Tiff is healthy. The baby's healthy. I still have a writing career. She still has a modeling career. And most recently, she won a pageant this past year, national pageant, which is something that she really wanted after losing the opportunity the year before. I just signed a contract for a writing assignment. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but it's going to give me something else to put my name to, as well as I have another book coming out in 2014. And this seminar will be in book form for 2014. So you will be able to purchase everything that we talked about. And if you missed last week's show, you'll be able to go over some of the points that we talked about last week, as well as the points that we're going to talk about this week. Now, it's real simple. The bullet points are these. I'll go through it real quick. Communication. An impartial referee, balance, the commitment, humor, the little things, roles, not big roles, not bread roles. We're talking about the roles, the designation of certain things, playful lovemaking. Now, we went over communication, impartial referee, balance, the commitment last week. So if you missed last week's show, stop by makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, and you can listen to last week's show. And you can get those pointers, and hopefully they'll help. This week we'll go into these. And so it'll be in book form pretty much before the end of the year, and we'll have official release for 2014. So let's go right into where we left off. We left off with humor. Now, anybody that's listened to the show know that Tiff and I joke and laugh. I'm always talking trash and always joking and laughing. Sometimes I joke and laugh at times that are considered inappropriate to others. I actually don't feel any, I don't feel that there's any time that is off limits to a halfway decent joke, but I am careful.
He's very serious about that because I've known KL to make jokes at funerals. So
I make jokes at everything. But go ahead, dog.
No, I was just saying, I've known you to make jokes at funerals, and I'm thinking I'm more of the conservative type. Like, you don't know how somebody else is going to react. Like, I've been with KL for 13 years, so I understand his humor. But I get scared sometimes because I don't know how somebody else is going to react, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to stop this person from beating my husband up.
You mean attempting. Get that right. Attempting to beat me up. But also, I'm not stupid. I am an intellect also. I'm not an idiot savant where I'm just going to make jokes because I'm good at it and I don't care what the outcome is. I am mindful of other people's feelings. If I believe that I have made a joke that has been taken in an inappropriate way, the first thing I'll do is apologize. I have no problem with that, as well as I am intellectually gifted enough to soothe a situation if a person didn't understand where I was coming from. Now, the last part of that is I'm a big guy, too, so it's not like you just going to jump up too quick to want to try to beat me down because you don't want to wrestle with
people.
You don't want to wrestle with no bear. I'm not bullying people, but at the same time, I'm not fearful of any situation simply because if you're that sensitive, okay, I'll see it because I'm always paying attention to body language and facial gestures. And if I think something, I say, also, I'm not one of those people that will say or keep saying a joke because I'm trying to get at somebody. No, not what I'm going to do. It's not what I'm about. So at that point, I'll just leave it alone. But, yes, I will say some things. But getting to what we're talking about in a marriage, now this is what we're talking about, humor is a blessing that should not be overlooked. You know, too many couples don't laugh enough together. Or at all. And it's very important. Very important. Because you've got to have a subtleness to each other where you can make each other smile, have some fun with you, but not at other people's expenses, that bothers me a little bit. I see couples laughing and joking, but it'll be at the expense of somebody else when the person is clearly upset or defenseless. That's not cool. And when I see that, then I might be a bully. I ain't going to lie. I might just start to turn on the disrespect and start making comments just simply because I know you can't bully me. You and your significant other should enjoy each other's company, but not at someone else's expense. Never disrespect somebody else so you two can enjoy each other's company. You should be able to do that on your own.
Yes.
And it should be something that is subtle. It doesn't have to be super grandiose. It can be at times, but something subtle, a little laugh and joke. There's times Tip and I laughing and joke about things. People have no idea we laughing, and we don't share everything because I might have said something a little rude, or she might have said something a little, but not at somebody else, to each other. And
right. People
react to that. People love to see smiles. People love to see and hear laughter. It causes people to gravitate to you.
Because, and you're right, too, because I know when we're at the bowling alley, Kale and I go to the bowling alley on Mondays. And actually, I used to go every Monday, but now I come straight home to get rest. But one of our bowling teammates, he actually came to us one day. He said, you know what? Y'all must have nothing to talk about at home because every time I see y'all talking and laughing and everything. And it was funny to us because we don't even recognize what other people see because it just comes naturally.
Yeah.
We interact with each other. We laugh with each other. Yeah, we always have stuff to talk about. So we're not just talking to each other in public. We talk to each other at home, too, all the time. And
yeah. One
thing I tell couples that they should pay attention to how often your partner makes you laugh or how often you make your partner laugh. If you're not laughing in a relationship often, and when I say often, I mean every day, you don't have to laugh all day long, but there's something that you guys should be able to laugh about together every day. Unless, you know, you're going through a sad period. And even when KL and I are going through sad periods, still find a reason to laugh.
Yeah, I'm going to say something weird.
if you're not laughing in your relationship every day, then you need to really sit down and start thinking, what is the situation?
Yeah, are y'all avoiding it? Yeah, are you avoiding it? And also, that opens up the door. And again, the stuff that we talk about is to keep those doors closed to infidelity, to dismay and disharmony in a relationship. If you don't have these things that we're talking about, and there's no hint of them, these are things that the human being, the human body, the human character needs. The human creature needs smiles, and it needs some type of mirth. It needs laughter. And if they're not getting it at home, they're going to get it somewhere else. How many? You don't want to go somewhere and you hear other people go, so-and-so is a killer. He's deadly funny at work. We can't stop laughing. And then you're saying to yourself, well, he or she don't ever
laugh at home.
And, you know, right there's a problem, because if all these other people are seeing a side of them that you're not seeing, why is that side tucked away when they're home? And it might be because they feel uncomfortable, or you might have choked that part of them out, or they choked it out of you, whatever. But the things that we're offering is a way to, again, help keep doors closed and keep that relationship foundation solid. They say the family which prays together stays together. The family that laughs together grows stronger. And let me tell you something, as Tiff just said, it is so important, because it can help in some of your worst times. It can help when you've had arguments. It can help when you've had losses, to just sometimes make a joke that, you know, it might be a little off and everything. And you know what? It's needed. It's needed. It might be, you know. Go ahead, baby.
It's interesting, because I remember ever since Kale and I first met, I remember him saying, and Kale has a degree in health and physical education, so he would say how laughter releases endorphins. Over the years, I've tried to apply that. Instead of even, you know, with depression or even physical pain, mental, spiritual pain, just laughing. And you would be surprised.
You actually give off an endorphin when laughing. That's why when you have to urinate, when you're really laughing hard, that little squirt of pee comes out, and you go, oh my God, because the chemical that gives off during laughter actually relaxes the body. It is a chemical that is given off that causes the muscles to relax. So that's why when you have to go to the bathroom and you're watching an outstanding comedy expose, you actually have that little, oh, did I just let that go? Yes, because now those chemicals are floating around your body, and you lose a little bit of control. It's why you pass gas, because you're sitting there holding it tight, and all of a sudden you're laughing, and there you go. But so there is a chemical aspect to it, too, that actually helps the body. So these are something that you need. Also, don't be scared to act like little kids. Love will do that to a couple. Never, never, never worry if you and your significant other are acting like little kids and people call you on it. You know what? Let them hate. Because real love, and I'm talking about when you and your significant other really, truly love each other, you're going to have many a giggle moment. You're going to have many a cuddle moment. You're going to have moments where people go, oh, I wish you two would just stop. Yeah, okay. What they're secretly saying is, all the time. Oh, you know, why she always talking about big dog? Why he always talking about his wife? And he always talking about he loves his wife. You know what? Yes. You need to be less like high school kids, like junior high school kids. Yes. And Tiff will text me and say, you know, I love you. And I'm sitting right in the next room, and I love you back. And I know some people hate that. Well, you know what? You need some of that in your life, because it keeps you young. It keeps things fresh. It keeps things cute. And it allows what you feel for each other to go back and forth. That flow is what extends itself to another aspect that we're going to talk about later. But you need that, because that actually helps strengthen the foundation and the bond that you have with each other. The bond becomes greater with each of those moments, because you're going to need that bond when the weight of negativity comes. When that weight falls down on you, what destroys so many relationships is that their foundation cracks. their foundation can't support the negative times. And everything that we've talked about, all the things that we've talked about in the past, are all things that's going to make that foundation that's going to undergird you and your significant other in such a way that no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what is thrown at you, you'll be able to weather it. And I mean that.
A lot of times when I talk to women, especially because I have this discussion with women as far as, especially when they're in failed relationships, whether it's divorce or just dating, I ask them, what about the relationship stopped working? And so many times I've heard the relationship wasn't fun anymore. We weren't having fun. We weren't doing anything. And I think a lot of times we let life get to us, and we're working, we're raising the kids, we're just doing everything to make a home, but don't realize that we're not really making a happy home, and we're not interacting with each other enough to create those fun moments that we had when we were dating, or when we first started dating. So I think it's very important as couples that we recognize what we need to do. And sometimes we just, again, a lot of the foundation is communication. Sometimes we just need to communicate to each other what is fun, what is humor for us, and we evaluate what makes us happy in the relationship. Because a lot of times people just, I've heard it so many times, I'm just not happy anymore, and they can't explain why they're not happy, but then they'll explain how it was in the beginning of the relationship. Well, in the beginning of the relationship, he used to make me laugh. He used to do this. He used to do funny things and write funny notes. Well, KL and I still do that with each other. We still write each other crazy notes. I still tell him, I'll text message him crazy things throughout the day, and you know, just to make him laugh. And we just have a good, good time with it. And I think that's what's missing. Sometimes I see couples together, and they don't look happy. And I'm thinking, you guys been together 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years, and you don't look happy, so why are you still together? And if you're going to stay together, start working to make the relationship better.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think people forget that just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean that you can't date. Just date. And do the things that you did dating. Go out. I mean, there's times I might just say, hey, forget it, man. Let's go do this. Or we have plans. And just because you're in an exclusive relationship doesn't mean that you stop doing the things that you did when dating, because those are the things that caused you to fall in love to begin with. So by recreating them, well, then, of course, in actuality, you can fall in love all over again. And that's really what you want, is to do the little things. And that leads us actually to the very next bullet area, is the little things. And that's exactly what Tiff and I are getting to, is sensual cues, little touches, kiss on the forehead, little brushes up against each other, a little grab around the waist, things that are sensual. We're not talking sexual and just groping and grabbing. No, we're talking about sensual things, things that are very subtle. Exactly, to show you care, to show that you still find that person attractive. Sometimes it can be a smile. The person gets out of the shower, and you look at them and go, that's what I'm talking about. Little comments, little things that are positive, little things that let your significant other know.
On the butt. When he doesn't have any clothes on, he's about to get in the shower, about to come out the shower, I pinch you right on the butt. You know, it's the little things.
I don't have no butt.
Well, I'm trying not to share that part.
I got the butt of like a 65, 70-year-old man, Caucasian man at that, too, and I'm not even being racist. I ain't got no booty. Really don't. I have no shelf.
If anyone's wondering what a shelf is, it's that little ledge that helps keep your belt on. KL, even if he wears a belt, it's likely that his pants are going to fall down. So
I ain't got no shelf. I ain't got no curve.
But
little things like that, and it could be a kiss on the forehead, little things that's going to make it better for you. And I think, again, these are the things that people forget, little things. Public displays of affection and tribute. You know, the fact that I pay a tribute to Tiff wherever I'm at, when I'm doing poetry, I always work in the poem that is dedicated to her. When I'm somewhere and I'm doing an interview, I always explain what the Lord and Tiff what role they play into my life. And I hear people all the time say, actually, we had a woman at a book event that we was at. She said, I remember you. You're the man that loved his wife. I remember that. Now, she couldn't remember my name, but she remembered I was a guy that loved his wife. And I have ran into people go, you're the guy that always talks about his wife, right? Yes, and I love that because Tiff is standing right there with me, and she may not have been there at the time that I was, but she knows that I'm doing it when she's not around. Just like other people go, Big Dog, I've heard so much about you. There's times I'll show up at work, and people go, hey, Big Dog, we heard. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
All my coworkers call him Big Dog. All my coworkers call KL Big Dog because that's what I call him. So you're right. People know. It's funny because I remember I used to work in an office with like 250 people. And even I see it on Facebook where people are in relationships and you have no clue. And it's long-time relationships, like 5, 10 years. See, I have a boyfriend. Or I have a husband. I have a wife. But they never talk about them. You never see pictures of them. It's a mystery. It makes you wonder what in the world is going on. Are you afraid to talk about your relationship? It shouldn't be like that.
Some people are. And, you know, you hear some people go, well, I ain't going to sit around and talk because that I don't want people knowing because that's how you lose your relationship. Let me explain something to you. You lose your relationship if your significant other loses faith in you. It loses faith in the relationship itself. No one can make your significant other cheat on you faster than them or yourself. They'll do it because they're greedy or disrespectful or you have driven them to it.
He's going to do it regardless of what you say.
Or she, they are going to do it because something is missing inside themselves and maybe inside the relationship. And then there's just the greedy person, female or male, who has it all but still wants more. That happens all the time. Either way, don't fear loving your significant other in public. Now, I ain't saying make no porn movie out in the streets because we have seen that too. Certain public displays of affection need to be kept at home.
Please. Please.
We know y'all in love, but we don't need to see how y'all do it. Some folks say, I don't care. This is how we get down. Well, we're still Christians. We are. We didn't say that you had to be. So there's just certain things that Tiff and I aren't going to do because we don't want to offend the Lord first. So, but if that's your thing, okay, whatever. But I say there's a limit, but if that's what you want to take it, that's where you take it. Also, become a fan of your spouse's achievements. I am Tiff's number one cheerleader when it comes to when she's doing any type of pageant work, when she's doing any type of modeling, whatever she's doing. I'm a fan. Now, I don't always go because the overall situation might be boring to me. But I root, and I'm serious, I'm telling the truth. I root my wife on to no end. But if I know she wants me there, I'm there. And sometimes I don't even ask. Now, sometimes she'll say, baby, I really want you to go, because she knows I ain't going. Now, I might put up a fight. Do I really have to? And she'll make this little face. All right, if you don't want to go. Now, see, that's the, you know I really want you to go. Why are you asking me? So then when I see that face, all right, you sure? Yeah, all right. Then the smile comes back. Yeah, you want me to go anyway. But, yes, you know, you have to for your significant other is that you have to be there to it. Don't let somebody else hold that position. Don't let some dude at work or some chick at work know more about your significant other's achievements where they can rattle them off better than you.
Absolutely.
How is somebody that you live with, that you love, how is somebody else going to know more about the things that they're doing than you? And I'm not talking about Ike Turner stalking stuff. Like I'm talking about really excited. I know. Now, I get the pageants mixed up sometimes. The names get all jumbled in my head. Let's keep it real. I know she got 3 New York banners. And I know she got 1 national banner. And I know when she's going to different events, I know when I thought she should have won, and I let my voice be known. How she lose? Hold up. That chick won? Oh, no, we got to talk. And then I have to be explained that there's other parts that I didn't see that went into the judging because sometimes I'm like, whoo, don't you have to be pretty to win some of these awards?
Oh, stop it, honey. Don't say that. You know, you are so mean.
Talking about she interviewed well.
Pageants are not about
a beauty pageant.
Pageants are not, no. And see, that's the problem. They no longer call beauty pageants. Pageants are not just about what somebody looks like.
It's, they need to take them back to beauty pageants.
It's about recognizing achievements and your goals and your platforms. Because we have social platforms, you know, we're going to do a show.
So they took beauty right on that, right? They done took beauty out the mix.
Huh?
Well, beauty ain't even there no more.
You know what? I'm not going to even get into that. We're going to do a show on pageants, and you're going to sit there for 2 hours and listen about pageants.
Yeah. That's fine. I got to listen. I'll sit here. I'll watch some TV. I'm just saying,
no,
when did they take the beauty part out?
Stop it. You know, that's for you, you fickle, materialistic people, to my beauty. Beauty is the eye of the beholder.
All right. And hold that door a second. We got a caller. Oh, we have a caller. Allison, hello. Allison, are you on the line?
Sam, how y'all doing? I'm
doing
Allison.
Good. How we doing, Allison?
Doing
is this
good.
Allison from North Carolina?
North Carolina, but yeah.
And your full name is?
Allison M.D.
Hey, that's my friend. What's up, darling?
What's going on, big brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Welcome. Glad to have you, darling. Glad to have you.
Thank you, dude. I just wanted to call in and show my support. You know, first of all, say congratulations for the 1800 time on the baby. I'm so excited. I don't know. It took me an hour to find the number, so I don't know if you
No, we didn't get the announcement yet. We didn't get the announcement yet. We're professionally stalling.
Okay. And I also just wanted to say what a ministry your marriage is.
Wow.
To me.
Thank you.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
That's what marriage is. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that marriage is a ministry, and it's not easy. It's not.
No, it's not. But, you know, we have to say thank you to you, too, because I know you and hubby are doing some of the similar things that – and Tip, if you don't know who this is, this young lady here is the young lady who actually – is married to one of the gentlemen that I'm going to be writing with in the upcoming book. She's also one of our biggest supporters. You have seen her post on all of our stuff regularly. And she is also the designer of the cover of the new book that is coming out in 2014, Soldiers of the Cross. Brother, well, tell them a little bit about it, Allison. Tell them a little bit about the book, because they get tired of hearing from me.
I am so excited about this project. In fact, I'm so excited about it that I'm trying to put out a female version by 2015. So, you know, I'm going to let you guys have your year, you know, the final.
That's it. But,
I mean, and it is.
No, go ahead.
I've read KL's story. I've read a version of the Hub story. For those of you who don't know, my husband is Isaiah David Paul, or that's who he's writing as currently. We'll get into that later.
and we also have Brother Maurice M.
Gray Jr.
Basically,
it is a triumph between the four of us, me being the cover designer. It is a triumph of my soul / Soul of a Man reunion.
Wow.
I am so elated. It is a real, you know, get real stories about real people coming to Christ. It's not flowery and foo-foo, and I'm not saying that those Christian stories don't work. Sometimes they do, but real people need to see real situations, and that's what we're getting. I am so excited. I mean, I read that KL's story, and then I read his book, From Gigolo to Jesus, within a week or so of each other, and it's just like, OMG, I'm delighted.
Wow.
This brother promised me that he's going to turn his story into a full-fledged novel. I'm waiting with red ink pen in hand. And, graphic designer, mouse in hand, go to work. I'm excited. I am in such support of both you and Tiff. Tiff, you know, you remind me of what I wanted to do when I was a senior in high school. I wanted to be a big-time, full-figure clothing designer. And unfortunately, at the time, I could not afford. I was granted entry to school. I couldn't afford to go.
Right.
So,
you know what, Allison, let me jump in here a second. You've got to get with my wife around April or May, and you got to get yourself up here to New York for the last week of June for Full-Figured Fashion Week.
Yeah, definitely.
And let Tiff, and go with Tiff, because Tiff will be able to introduce you to so many different folks. It is, and I say this to every woman of size, that you need to come and experience it, because to see for a whole week so much that's catered to full-figured fashion, not just the models, but everything for those 3 or 4 days, even if you just for the final fashion show on the final day, whatever day you come up, it's incredible, because you'll never be the same, because you just see how much is available to women of size that many women of size had no idea, from clothing to networks to everything. And I know Tiff walking the first year, 6 years ago, it went from 5 or 6 promoters, supporters, and sponsors to well over 40. And folks from around the world now come. It is an established national event, and it went from 2 or 3 days to now a whole week. And definitely stay in touch with Tiff to do that, because it's right here in New York, and you can't get any better than that. And the coverage is incredible. And just the networking alone for someone like yourself with the things that you do is even better, because you're talking about folks who are not just fashion, that are connected to so many other things. And then that the full figure part is what brings everyone to the table. So definitely, FFFweek.com, we have no problem promoting it, simply because the person behind it, Sister Gwen DeVoe, is a personal friend of Tiff and ours, and she was one of Tiff's mentors and still is. And she had a dream, put the dream together, and now the dream has become reality and has become bigger than I think even she could have thought. But it's just something that every person needs to be a part of, to go and see at least one time. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You know, that's been a dream of mine since it first kicked off, too. So, yeah. I am so praying to see the two of you and baby next November.
Yes.
November.
Oh, yeah. Tell about your event. I'm sorry. Tell about the event, because we'll be there. Tell about the event in November.
The Asheville Literary Reunion. It's going to be like a big family reunion of all the authors and the readers and people who want to expand books into movies. And, oh, we have so many surprises in store. I am so excited. We are working on several different things as we speak. We have the most beautiful venue in place, the Asheville Event Center. You can find out all about the event, www.AshevilleLLE.com. AshevilleLiteraryUnion.com. I am so excited. Now I'm so excited to finally get to meet Tiff and KL, and now to meet Tiff.
That's it. That is it. And we're going to be there.
God.
We're going to do everything that we can to be there.
How long have we known each other since? 06, 07?
Yeah, it's been about 6, 7 years, and I think when we were down
in my first marriage, but we're not gonna talk about it.
Well, yeah, we all know about the second marriage thing. We gonna have a whole show on that. But yeah, it's been some time, and you know what? That's what's necessary, because last year when we came to where was we at? Charlotte. Was it Charlotte? Yeah, we was in Charlotte. I got a chance to meet some of my friends that I've known for 10, 13 years online but had never met. And what's beautiful is when you finally do get to meet and put a face to everything, it just makes the business and everything else so much better, because you get to meet and find out the people are such great people. And this is what it's about. And then when you know that, that brothers and sisters know the Lord, that makes it even better, because what we're trying to do in building the kingdom up is that trying to get with other kingdom builders that are doing some of the things and linking arms so we can start to build a foundation of faith that folks can rely on, so they're not worried about being taken advantage of. They're not worried about trashy stuff when they try to read or when they're trying to do business, and just not being robbed when they're trying to do business. And so, you know, these are the things that have to happen. And so I will definitely be there to support you in whatever you do, and we'll definitely be there next November, as well as this is going to be a big year with the project, because even with my story, when I decided to make the story and turn it into a book, the whole idea came because once I sat down and looked at what I created, I said, I could do something with this. And actually, you'll have my revisions within the next week or so. I need to touch things up. So we're definitely getting on it. Well, darling, going to have to let you go because we got to get ready to make this announcement soon. But, Allison, give them that website one more time and tell them anything that you want to share with them before you go, darling.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say God bless you. People out there, remember, marriage takes work. It's a ministry, but it's so worth it.
Amen.
Again, check us out. This is the first big collaboration of my husband Isaiah and I, as well as our businesses emerging together for the first time. It'll be the Asheville Literary Reunion. And that's, again, that's Asheville, A-S-H-E-V-I-L-L-E, literaryreunion.com. We look forward to having you. I look forward to meeting y'all. I'm about to cry. I can't wait to cry.
Thank you so much, Ellie. God bless you and the hubby.
God
and
bless
it
you.
Is so good to hear the hubby is writing the way he should be writing. And the Lord has blessed him with talent. And so whatever I can do to continue to uplift you too, don't hesitate to ask.
I will, and thank you both again so much. And, you know, I'm rooting with you and for you and praying for you all the way.
Same here.
I'm
God
so
bless
excited. You. I swear you will think this is my baby. I'm just thrilled. I'm excited, you know.
Thank you, love. Thank you so much. That is Allison Dees, and ladies and gentlemen, tremendous woman of God, outstanding cover designer.
You know, I have to say,
cover designer. Okay, baby. Hold on one second. Hold that thought, baby. Uh-huh. She's an outstanding cover designer. Her husband, Isaiah, and Brother Maurice that are part of this book. We were in Soul of a Man back in 2009. 13 brothers that came together to create stories of men uplifting themselves through their faith. And we won an award, 2000 Anthology of the Year Award. So three of us from that project are now together on a new project, Soul of a Man. And if you want to see the cover is on my Facebook page, KL Belvin, facebook.com/KL Belvin. You'll see the cover, and it is tremendous. So definitely make sure you check that out. Coming out in 2014, Soldiers of the Cross. Go ahead, baby.
No, I was just going to say, I have to say that one thing I love about social media is the connection that we can have with people that we meet throughout the world. And I have to say throughout the world, because when Cam and I go to different events, we meet people and we're able to stay in touch through Facebook, through Twitter, through email, and just maintain that network, that friendship. And it's an awesome feeling to do that, because we know a long time ago, before social media, you could meet somebody and probably never speak to them again. But now, the way technology works, you can maintain. Like, I have people that I consider friends. We have probably seen each other. I can count on one hand how many times we've actually seen each other in person. But we talk every day. We instant message each other. We, you know, it's just, we talk to each other on Facebook, like each other's pictures, you know, update each other. It's just an amazing feeling to be able to.
Social media is not just taking pictures of your pancakes and your new J's.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, the lady whose crack of her booty is showing on the train, you know, when done right, social media can not only extend your business, it connects your family. It can do so much, and it should not be wasted. and you should not waste that time when you're on, because there's so much that you can do, and Tiff and I try to do that. You know what? We're going to hold off. We're going to come back to the seminar in a minute. You know, we didn't take no breaks for a reason, because we were going to get through as much as we can get through. But you know what? We made you wait. We made you wait. You know what? I don't know. Should we tell? I don't even know. Should we just go back into something else? You know what? What you want to do, baby?
You don't want to tell him?
Yeah, I do want to tell him. I do think, you know what? We've been talking about it for a week now. Okay. Let's set it up this way.
Okay.
Let's set it up this way. Last week, Tiff said we had our sonogram, which was the second trimester sonogram, which, if everything went well, you get to learn what the... Well, actually, they ask you, do you want to know? So we get to... And what's the hospital? It's
LIJ,
right?
LIJ, yes.
Yes, and it is a fantastic hospital.
It's
so
awesome. It's awesome.
We made sure that we were going
to
pick up.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they have a women's center dedicated in specialties for women. Because I'm considered high risk because of my age, because of my obesity, everything, they have a unit specifically for women, and the birthing unit has private rooms. I can't wait to take a tour, because you get to labor, delivery, and postpartum care in the same space. You don't have to go from one part of the hospital to another part of the hospital, and your family gets to be there with you. So it's such a wonderful place. And I actually spoke with someone who has their children, a few people that have their children there. So I can't wait to just tour it, to see it for myself. And the hospital itself is like a hotel. When you walk in, it doesn't have that hospital feel. Usually when I walk in hospitals, I feel really like icky. I don't want to touch anything. It wasn't like that at all. They have plush couches, and it just was a professional atmosphere. I loved it.
Without question. So once we got situated, you go into, and you know, sometimes you can look at equipment and know that you're in a place that has invested into what they're doing. When I walked in, it looked like I was inside the Starship Enterprise. I mean, you have the table laying there, but the machine that the woman uses is incredible. And then they have a separate screen for the mother if she wants to see, as well as whoever else is in the room. So I got a chance to see exactly what the tech is seeing as she's doing the sonogram.
Although he didn't realize what he was looking at. If you could,
not at first.
It was like putting ink blots in front of KO. He's like, what's that?
Well, no, I even said to the woman, how do you keep up with all this? She said, well, the baby keeps moving. And so they also have heated the fluid that they, the gel that they put on.
Mm-hmm.
Is heated. They actually have a heater for that. So it's not like they're squirting on cold gel. It's, you know, everything is thought of. So, you know, enough about the room. So, of course, we see the pictures, and then we get the question, do you want to know?
And I already knew what it was because I was looking at it.
Exactly. So at this point, I didn't know, because I know when the lady said, there's the legs. I'm looking, I see the legs. And then that's when I realized we were having, well, actually, she said, I asked a question, and I said, well, where is the testicles? And she said, no, there's no pee-pee pop. Why? Because we are having a daughter.
We're having a girl.
Yes, we are having a little girl. The reason why there's no testicles or penis, because she doesn't have one. Because I was looking, I was like, yo, where is it? Yo, it's not one there. Pop, it's a daughter.
It's funny, but because she said, you want to know what it is? I said, it's a girl. And Kale said, how do you know? I said, because she doesn't have any testicles.
I was like, oh, because I was looking for them. And I have to say, yes, tears came to my eyes because, you know, this is not my first time. But that had nothing to do with that moment. It was the joy of seeing my wife and my future child And I have to admit that I got very emotional, like even now, just getting emotional, because it is something we prayed for. It is something that we asked the Lord to give us. And, you know, you can ask for hundreds of things. The Lord decides when he wants you to have the things that he wants you to have. So 7 years ago, having lost a child, and then those years going by and not even coming close and wondering what's going on and all the things that went on in our lives and all the things that I have been a part of that were negative and the things that Tiff had to deal with me, to be there at that moment to actually see and to hear the tech go, she's very active because she's all over the place. And I could actually see it on the screen that she was darting all over the place. She wasn't trying to sit still to be seen.
I don't know if it was the gel or what, but I haven't, even today, she was moving all day today. Even now during the radio show, she's moving. I haven't felt her move this much until the ultrasound. And it's so funny because I think the prodding of the node was annoying her, and that's the reason why she was moving so much. And the doctor said, I think we were there for like an hour. First the nurse came to take pictures, and then the doctor came to take pictures, and the doctor said, you know what, you're going to have to come back in 2 weeks because I can't get pictures of her spine and her heart. And I'm thinking, why not? After all these pictures, we've been here for an hour, but she just moved.
But she got some pictures of the heart, but not all of the pictures that she wanted. But she did
right.
say there was nothing that she saw which was
she
wrong.
Said everything
but she just wanted to have the pictures, yes.
Yes. She said everything
was
normal.
We are having a little girl.
It was so adorable because to see her hands and her fingers, and it looked like she was actually playing with her hands, which was so funny. And I said,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Once I saw that it was a girl, I just, so many emotions. The first thing I thought is, okay, pageants and pictures and dresses and, yeah, sparkly stuff. My husband is going to be in girly heaven.
Well, anyway, I'll just be the one with the shotgun making sure cats understand what this is. But, you know, I think like anything else, and it's funny because my sons, I haven't had a chance to tell them what we're having, but my sons were already excited because one was already like, well, hurry up and have a baby because I want to be able to go to the park. So he's already trying to figure out how he can pimp the situation to attract young ladies. But they were excited, and we have been so excited with how many people have been excited with us because we share this for everybody because we know what some people are going through who have lost children. We know what some people who are going through who want to have children, and we were there, and we just want folks to know
yeah.
this is why it is not a vanity situation. It is not a pride thing. It is about...
We are humbled by this,
yes.
definitely.
Yes. Yes, and it is to share because we want to be able to bring hope to anyone who thinks it can't be them. Because let me tell you something, there's been many a night Tiff has looked over at me and I've gotten that angry look and I know what it is, but there's nothing I can say or do. And we've had conversations that have ended up in a negative tone, and there's nothing I can do because it's just and one of the things that's for us. Because as I said before, I lost my grandmother on July 3rd of this year. It was on July 5th that we found out that we were going to be with child. And before my grandmother lost the ability to really speak, she said to Tip and I that you two cling close to each other. You two stay with each other because the Lord is going to bless you with a child. And then she prayed, me and her prayed together, and she whispered some things into my ear, and she told me what I needed to do for the family and what I needed to do for the Lord. She actually, and I'll share one of those things with you, she said, "Is you need to now step up and take care of this family." And I knew exactly what she was saying. And so that's why this ritual of the baptism is so important for me, is that I got a family, not just with Tiffin and the new baby, my mother, my sister, Tony and Aiden, my nephew, and Layla, my niece, and my sister Renee, who I pray for, and hopefully she'll get herself together. My job is to take my role at the head of this family because I know that my mother needs that. And my mother is going in to get some things checked out because she has some issues with her own health that we're hoping turn out to be negative. And so these are very difficult times. So anytime the Lord rewards you with a blessing, then you have to honor the Lord by making sure you stand up and hold on and do the things that you're supposed to do. So when you see me post online, when you hear me talk about the things of my family, I'm not doing it because I want your praise. I'm doing it because I want you to see who I am and what the Lord is doing for us. Because I need all the strength I can get for the things that I'm trying to tackle. And I'm trying to do it for other people, not just myself. And so it is very important. So, yes, with a little girl on the way, you know what? It's definitely needed, and I'm excited. I'm excited. And if you read my book, then you would understand what's going on with my – I do have two other daughters, but I don't have relationships with them. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But I don't have a relationship with either one of my daughters for different reasons. And so with the Lord blessing me with a daughter, all I can do is shower on this new daughter what I would love to give to my other daughters, and hopefully they'll come around. And that's my prayer, is to have them all at the table at some point with an understanding of who we are and what can go on from here. So wipe your tears, because I'm wiping mine. And so...
You're such a sap.
Yeah, I am. Listen, this is something, I cry, I'm crying now. Listen, hey, I thank the Lord every night for bringing Tiff into my life. And I'll share this with y'all, and I've shared it with Tiff. I asked the Lord 8 years ago, because I asked 28 things. I put on my wall 28 things I asked the Lord for. And I said, I can't get these things unless you grant them to me. They were prayers and requests. One of those things was to marry Tiff and have a baby. Now, I didn't know he wasn't going to give it to me at the same time, so he gave me one. We got married, so that was granted. Now, 7 years later, he granted me the child. So there's something, too. My son just said no.
What happened?
Jonathan, our oldest son, said no. He was hoping for a boy. But anyway, I didn't know it was going to be 7 years, but I asked for that. I also asked to have all my children together at some point, and I've had that, and now it'll increase because, like I said, in my book I talk about some of it from Gigolo to Jesus. I talk about my situation with my children, and it has not been the way that I would have liked it, but, you know, you learn. But now, right here, right now, about doing everything I can to make the Lord proud of me with the time that he grants me, to make sure that I am the best husband, best father to not just my children, to every child that I deal with. So this is why we led up to this situation. We led up to this moment. This is why we prolonged it and dragged it out, not just for attention. It's because we want to make sure that we have your ear. This is why we ask you for your support. It's everything that you do for us, we help do for someone else. Every book that you purchase, we take that to go out, the money from that, to help us go out and speak. Tiff works with young women. I was working with young men. I'm hoping that they'll allow me to start my program up again. But either way, this is what I do as an educator. But now we're going to need all you surrogate godparents to hold us up in prayer, to support what we do, to get the word out about our seminar, which we may get back to in a few minutes just to close out the night. But we need you to do all those things because it allows us to grow. Listen to GQ Palace Radio on the other night that the hosts have shows, because everything that we're connected to, there's a positive to it, or we wouldn't be bothered with it, because we have to answer to God for everything that we do, as well as the other brothers and sisters that I do business with. When you see me connected to somebody, support them too. Because in the end, this is what it's about, giving and serving others. And so I'm so excited for my wife. My biggest thing now, I stay quiet a lot of times with the babies because I just want to get to that finish line. I just want to get to where the baby's in my hands. So my job is just to sit back as a big bear that I am and make sure everything is cool. Make sure she's eating. Make sure she's sleeping. Yes, I put her on punishment. She got to go to bed at certain times. You know,
I
got to
be
sure
in bed by 10 o'clock.
Yes, 10:30 if she got some work to do. But this is what it is. You know, and so this, I take my job as a protector very seriously. And I'll be the same way for my daughter. So this is why I'm dragging my butt into the gym. I got to be able to catch some of these clowns if they grab a squeeze. But I want to thank everyone for the congratulations on Facebook. They've been coming in. I just put it in that we're having a little girl. And so I want to say thank you to everyone. And again, continue to pray. It just means that we go from here. But to continue, and then we thank you dearly. Now, you're not taking no breaks. We're going to go straight to it. Now,
yeah, we might as well.
All right. No, we're not taking no breaks. We're not taking no breaks. All right. Let's get our heads back together, because knowing that there's a baby involved, this leads us right back to the things that we were talking about. So, yes, we're going to switch gears and go back to what we were talking about, because we feel just as strongly about this material that we created, because we want to see happy marriages, because we want to see more children born from those marriages. So it is very, very important. Okay. We were talking about the little things, and we talked about becoming a fan of your spouse's achievement. You also have to make sure that your spouse's main supporter of their goals, business, and or hobbies. So not just the achievements, the things that they like. Take an interest in it. Tiff and I bowl together because we both like it. When Tiff does what she does, I support it. I don't knock it. I don't go, why are you doing that? That's stupid. I go, do your thing. If I don't believe
I have to say, because KO helps me think about some of the choices I make, because sometimes I could be a spare-the-moment type person, and I always joke that he's somewhat like my parents, but he and my parents are similar in that they support my ideas. So if I woke up tomorrow and said, I want to go to the moon, my parents would look at me like, you want to go to the moon? Really? Well, last week you wanted to go to Mars. But they still support me, and KO will be like, I can't believe you want to do this. Did you think about the pros and the cons? And he'll give me all scenarios and how about this and options. And then he'll come down and say, you know what? Okay, let's talk about how we're going to get you there. So I have to thank him for being that type of supportive husband. But he also, it's really something I want to do that's so far-fetched that it's just not in the grand scheme of things for us to be able to do. He's very real about it, and he'll say, no, we can't do that. And he'll state the reasons why, and I might stick out my lips and, you know, frown and mope around the house, but then I have to come to understand why he's saying that it's not something that we can do now. Maybe it's something we can do in the future, or maybe it's something that we can...
Hold that thought right there, because I guess that folks are calling in now, which we expected, so we might even have to finish this next week. But let's see, we have a Miss Donovan on the line. Miss Donovan?
Hello, KL and Tiffany, how are you?
Hello.
All right, how's it going?
How are you all doing?
We are doing fantastic.
I just wanted to personally call in and tell you both how much I love you, how much I am so excited for you, and the journey that you guys have taken together. And KL, it's been a long time since I've talked to you on radio, but listen, you guys are doing a fabulous job, and I'm praying for you and this new addition to your family, and that you all will have wholeness and restoration and everything that you need to move forward in this journey together. It's just great watching you guys transition. I'm loving it. Thank you so much for
sister.
All that you do.
Oh, my sister, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're tremendous, tremendous help with everything that you give to the world, too. So
you already know, Lord, how
I feel.
Yes, I do. I just love you guys, and I just felt like I needed to get on the line tonight and tell you that personally, not just on Facebook, but just to tell you guys that personally. And I'm just going to sit back and listen to the rest of the show. But Tiffany, girl, you go. You go, girl. This is great. I cannot wait. I'm waiting to see some pictures. All of that stuff. I just feel like I'm going through it with you guys. Can I be a surrogate auntie or something? I just,
yes,
you know,
yes.
It's just great.
Of course.
Yes, We're visiting advocates and surrogate godparents, because y'all going to babysit too. I mean, we're going to fly out places and be like, look.
Hey, all of that. I love it. I love you guys and what you guys stand for and what you're trying to do. It is truly a blessing.
And before you go, give them a little something about yourself. Tell them where they can find some things that you're doing. You know, I'm not going to let you run away that quickly. Go ahead.
Well, listen, you know what? Okay, I will, because it's you. But, you know, I wasn't even calling about that. But I'm Cheryl Lacey Donovan. I met KL and Tiffany some years ago. I am an author, a biblical life coach, a minister. And if they just want to find out anything about what I'm doing, they can go to worthmorethanrubies.org. Worthmorethanrubies.org.
There you go. Just so you know, I wasn't going to let you just jump out of here and let nobody not know that. Darling, thank you so much, because this young lady sends out a text every morning with the word, and sometimes I think the Lord places it on her spirit to send it to mine. And my evolution and my ascension closer to God himself has come through the help of women like this, who undergirded me when I was a baby Christian, when I still didn't know what one foot was supposed to do on one side and one foot was supposed to do on the other side. But folks like her understood what they saw in me and allowed me to get to this point. So that's why I share everything that goes on with me, because somebody shared their situations and their love to me and to my wife. And so, sister, you already know. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to keep praying for all of us and all of our families, because this is a blessing for everyone.
Absolutely. Love you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, you can jump on Google and check out Cheryl Lacey Donovan, and let me tell you something. She gets it in, and she is a strong woman of God, and everybody needs prayer warriors around them, with them. And let me tell you something. She gives it up for the Lord, and I am so happy to have her as a friend, as a fellow author, and as well as a sister in the body of Christ, because it is, like I said, folks like her that allow me to feel comfortable in how I'm doing things, because when I see how she puts it out there for the Lord, I don't feel bad when I'm doing it for myself. And I've done her shows and we've talked, but just to have her come on is definitely much appreciated. And so, you know, guys, trying to get through this seminar, I knew we was going to have a problem. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to hang out. If you're online right now and you want to just come on and talk to Tiff and I, just press 1-646-200-3838.
We're receiving so many Facebook messages. I'm like, keep having these pop-ups come on the screen.
But that's love right there. But it's great, because everybody listening, we thank you. We thank you all for every like, because like I said, Tiff and I do this because it is our ministry. I may not call it a ministry simply because I think the word scares some people off, but this is what we do to honor our faith and to honor our God. Because if we can show folks how good God has been to us, then we believe that it'll open up. We're going to go to church right now. So y'all don't want to go to church. I might want to hang up right now. We're about to go to church for this next half an hour.
Press one.
Exactly. Go to church with me. Because I'm going to be real with you, is that I don't think there was a greater sinner than myself. And I wrote a book about it, yes. And I talk about how nasty and negative, and I talk about it on the regular. I am baffled sometimes to no end when I think about what the Lord has allowed me to see and to where he has allowed me to get to with my wife. And when I sit in church on Sundays now, I have a sense of connection to the words that are being spoken by the pastor, so much so that after service, the pastor and I will talk for a couple of minutes. We're actually having mutual conversation because he respects where I'm coming from and my understanding of the word, and I'm respectful of what he does as the shepherd of the church that we go to, and I respect that because I know that I'm growing. And I'm trying to honor my grandmother in becoming the man of God that she wanted me to be, because that was one of her other requests, was that when she said it was my time, it wasn't just my time with my family, it was my time with God. And so I wrote the other day that I am a little saddened that she's not here to experience this, just like Tiff's mother not being here to experience this. So we know this baby came with a cost. We know that this baby came with such a cost that we have no choice but to honor both of those women with what we do. And so we're actually going to name our child after my grandmother. Now, we're not going to give you the names just yet. Tiff's going to save that because on the Making Marriage Cool Again site on Facebook is where Tiff puts all the updates. So if you want to stay up, baby Melvin, if you want to stay up with everything that's going on, make sure you like Making Marriage Cool Again page on Facebook, because Tiff puts everything up there, as well as we have a blog, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. But I am working hard to make the moves necessary to just open doors for so many other people through what I do. My writing, my speaking, my teaching. I am trying to become an educator who works with churches to create lessons that open up doors for young folks to take a liking to the faith, not feel that they're being forced into church, but actually enjoying what they're learning and how it applies to how they live right now. My kids in school are perfect. My children in school are perfect examples of that, of how they respond. They see the cross around my neck and they joke and laugh and they say, "B, how come you don't wear any bling?" And I say, "That's just my choice." But then they notice that my chain is made of three crosses, or three nails, I'm sorry, but it's fixed into a shape of a cross. And it allows me to open up doors to talk to them. When I'm in the street and I run into former students and I tell them what I'm doing and I tell them I'm there and I tell them I know the Lord, they know they have someone in their corner. So this baby gonna have a whole lot going on for her. But we want all of you to join us in prayer. We want all of you to join us in the support. We want all of you to reach out if you need someone to talk to. Because it's not just about us. It's about your pain too. If there's something that I can do to help ease your pain, if there's something that Tiffany can do to help ease your pain, don't hesitate. That's what this is about. This moment right here, this baby right here, is for every woman that didn't think she could have a baby. Tiffany, 37 years old. A few months shy of her 38th birthday, and she is pregnant with a healthy baby. And her blood pressure is going down. Things is going to the right for her. And so we're going to continue to pray that the Lord takes us all the way to the finish line. That's why I said I'm just laying in the background, and I'll get even more excited when we get to that point, because my job is to get us to point B. We're on the road, but we got to get to point B, and that's having a baby here. And so my prayers every night is for that newborn that's not born yet, that's soon to be born, and my wife, and then everybody else. So we hope that you guys join in with us. Keep the messages coming. I see the boxes popping up myself. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But you know what? Keep them coming. Keep them coming. And see, this is what it's about. This is what the baptism is about. Because some of these people that are posting right now are folks that knew me as somebody else. So when they actually see where I've gotten to, they go, wow, I remember when that guy used to, yes, I used to do all of those things. And some of those well wishes for Tiff, like, wow, you got where you wanted to go. I know you said that's what you wanted. We got family and friends who are hoping to have the same things happen for them, and we're praying for that for them. But this is for all of you that are listening. This is for all of you that took the time out tonight because you were either nosy or just really wanted to know because for your own selfish reasons. That's fine. Run with it. But remember, more than anything else, it's about God, not us. We just happen to be the people giving you the message, but it's really about the Lord. It's about what the Lord offered us because we're trying the best we can to be connected to each other as husband and wife. And when they say that the Lord honors marriage, he does. We lost that child before we were married, first one. This one was given to us after being married. There's something to that. Ain't no accidents. Now, some people may not want to hear that, and some people say, okay, are you stretching? Okay, that's what I believe, and I know that's what my wife believes.
Yes, very much so.
What we're going to say is that you got to figure out what works for you, and if you need some help with it, reach out. If you're not sure, call on them. If you have some questions, ask them. want to learn some more about us, buy my book. It's in there. You want to see the man that I used to be? If you want to say, well, how disgusting really? Read the book. Read the book and then come and say, I can't believe you used to be that dude. Man, I used to live to be that dude. Read the book and understand how Tiff caught me cheating 3 times and was able to get past that to become my wife, which then led us to this moment right here. So if you don't understand the story, well, then you better purchase my book from Gigolo to Jesus to understand exactly what that is, what that was. And now it's taking the next step, because November 10th, I now stand in front of the Lord, in front of the whole church. Lord, I want more. Whatever you ask me to do, then it's going to be done. And my wife is going to be front center. My baby's going to be inside, jumping around. That's what she does. She don't sit still for some strange reason. She don't like to sit still. Keep it moving.
She does this.
Baby doll, what you feeling?
I'm just happy. I'm very happy. I can't wait. I'm overjoyed. I'm thankful for everyone that's sending, you know, the well wishes on Facebook. We're receiving tons of them. And I'm looking for the future. I'm so grateful and blessed.
Yeah.
I think you've said it all, definitely.
That's what it's about. And so if you want to call in, 646-200-3838. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we'd love to hear everything you got to say. This is what it's about. Now's the time. We'll definitely get back to the seminar next week. But, you know, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Because this is what it's about for us, man. And I'm just so excited. And, yes, you put the name out there, so you might as well tell them what the name is going to be. Go ahead.
The name of our baby, the first name is actually KL, which is spelled K-A-Y-E-L-L-E. And, of course, those are my husband's initials. But what was even more interesting, because I not only was it because my husband's initials, I wanted to make sure that it was a name that had meaning. And when you break down the name, the K, K-A-Y, actually means praise, and E-L-L-E means woman. So I basically came up with the idea that the name means woman's praise, and or praise of a woman. And I thought it was so profound coming from the spiritual aspect and also the fact that they are KL's initials. The middle name is going to be Christina, which is KL's grandmother's name. We had decided once she passed away and finding out 2 days later that we were having a baby, we immediately said if it was a girl, as she is, her middle name would be Christina. So it would be KL Christina Belvin. And sure. The estimated due date is March 13th.
7 days before my grandmother's birthday. So I'm actually hoping that Kayla decided to hold on for a while and come out a little bit later. That would be perfect. If there's such thing as perfection in the world for her to be born on my grandmother's birthday. Like I said, it's a tremendous feeling. But just, you know, I wish that my grandmother was here, but I understand why she couldn't be. And when I told my mother and I told my father, was hearing my mother, the excitement in my mother's voice, that was well worth it. And then the first thing she said was that my niece, because my sister had a baby recently, my niece, Layla, was going to have a playmate. And I said, yeah, now my nephew Aiden, her big brother, is going to be roughing them both off. But, you know, the good thing is that she's a little under a year now, a little over a year. What is she now? She's a little over a year, right?
No, she'll be a year in December.
Year in December. So,
yeah.
And I said, that means that, you know, they're very close to each other. So the fact that they'll be close to each other, they'll have an opportunity to grow up with each other. That keeps our families connected. And that's something that my grandmother wanted. And the fact that my sister and her family now live in the house that was my grandmother's house along with my mother, and they made such beautiful changes to the house because of what my grandmother left for them, that means our children are now going to have that home for years to come, and my grandmother helped provide that. So when I say I understand why she couldn't be here, I look at what was put in her place. And the Lord understood that. The Lord said, I'm going to take this piece, and I'm going to give you this. And sometimes we can, in our sadness, be so distraught about what the Lord took away that we forget to look at what he granted us in her place. So in this case, I remember one night Tiffany texted me and she said, I'm feeling real anxious. And I said, why? She said, I just miss my mom and I'm just really missing my mother. And I said, I understand. I said, but listen to me. What I'm about to say may sound mean. You can't worry about that right now because you got to worry about the baby. That baby came at the cost of two souls. Because we prayed and asked for this. So the Lord said, okay, I'm going to grant it, but I'm going to take these two with me. But in the return, this is what I'm going to give you. And so you sometimes have to just focus on the blessing and not what the cost of the blessing. Because it can easily get you destroyed and easily get you to give up. No. When I look at that house and how our children are not going to see some of the damage that was repaired, they're never going to see that. They're never going to see some of the headaches that my grandmother had to deal with taking care of her home, because the money that she left behind her allowed my sister and my mother to repair those things that now when they play in that backyard, they're never going to know some of the things that might have been wrong with the backyard before. See, that's how God works. So the new that may come behind the old may never even understand or may never even see. The understanding will come from us as the parents. But they may never see what was there before, and they'll be able to enjoy what's there now. And my job is to make sure for every breath that I have is to make sure that my wife and my children and my family are protected so they can enjoy everything that the Lord has given them. So as I said to you before, it's not about Tiff and I. It's about doing the things necessary to make sure God is proud of us. So all the brothers and sisters that's listening, all of you that have sent messages on Facebook, keep praying. And keep hitting that like button and keep letting us know that you're there, because then we know that we have folks that are there praying with us, celebrating with us. And yes, Tiff is a picture junkie, so Lord knows you're going to get enough pictures.
All the pictures that I post of Storm, the dog. KL comes out the womb. And you know, somebody asked me, am I going to take pictures in the delivery room? I said, no.
No.
No way in the world.
You're not getting those.
You're not getting those pictures. Those are going to be intimate moments between KL and I having our baby. You'll see the pictures after we all dolled up and the baby got on a cute outfit. There will be no pictures in the delivery room. I can imagine what I would look like. Ugh. But, yeah, there will be tons and tons of pictures.
Yes, definitely, because that's what it's about. And like I said, we want you to share in it. And, you know, again, all is done to honor the Lord. All of it is done with the idea that to say thank you. You know, and this is what it's about. And so, you know, ladies that are listening, who may be going through some difficulties, keep praying. Don't give up. Even when things don't look like the Lord is listening to you, he is. He decides in his time, not yours, not mine, not anybody else's. And it's so easy to say, you know what, I'm going to quit because God don't hear me. He does. And sometimes the answer is no, but it's more. The answer is not right now. And never say never, because, like I said, Tiff is almost 40, but she's blessed. But remember, Sarah was 80 years old. Sarah was 80 years old when she was blessed with a child. She even laughed herself. I can't have no child at this age. Okay. But if the Lord says it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So I hope that and every couple.
I have to share, because I tell people all the time, and especially I have a very good friend who happens to be an atheist, and I always thought if she ever walked my testimony, she would understand why I have the faith and the belief that I do. And it's so interesting that earlier in the year, a woman from Facebook contacted me, and she said to me that she has a message for me. She said, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but I have a message for you. I don't know what it means, but maybe you do. And she said, God hears your prayers, and you pray often. And he's going to give you what you want and what you've been asking for. And it was so profound.
We almost made it through without you crying. I knew. Oh, Lord. Now that can't nobody hear what you're saying.
She didn't know me. She only knew me from Facebook. And okay. I said to her, I understand the message because it wasn't the first time I had the message. I tell people all the time that when Cam and I lost our first baby, it was a week later that I was on the bus and I was reading my Bible. And a woman came to me, one of us, they know me, and she said, I want you to read 1 Samuel. And she got off the bus. And when I read 1 Samuel, I knew that God was going to be a message. And I knew that I needed to be faithful, I needed to be prayerful, and I needed to be patient. And it seemed so difficult because in 7 years, KL and I did not get pregnant again. And it just, I had concluded that it might not happen. And if it didn't happen, I had to be okay with that, that maybe God had another plan for me. So I'm very humble and blessed that we have this. And like he said, it was at the expense of his grandmother and my mom, who I miss both of them tremendously. But the joy that I have knowing that we're going to have a child, I can't even explain how much joy I have. And it keeps me from being sad. These are actually happy tears. So I'm not sad
no,
at all.
Let me jump in here. My grandmother said that, and I'm jumping in because Tip sound like her lip is quivering. You may not be able to hear everything that she's saying, but... No, my grandmother said, she said, when you see me crying, don't think that I'm crying because I'm unhappy. And she also said, don't think that I'm crying for me. And it really shook me up that amongst everything that was going on with her, her focus was still on her family. Her focus was still on everybody else because she didn't want to be a burden to no one else. So she wasn't even thinking about herself. And that's one of the things for me, while I understood what my role was to Tiff and to everything, is because when I watch how that happened, is that there are no chance meetings. Sometimes the Lord sends a person just for that meeting right there. You may never see them again. But they send them just to send you a word, just to point you in a direction to tell you, go that way. And most of the time, all of the time, it's connected to Scripture. Now, many of us may not pick the book up and read it. Many of us may not believe what we read. But that Scriptures are put in place to guide us. So I remember when Tim told me the story about the woman, and she read the Scripture, and the Scripture talked about a woman that prayed very hard to be with child. That's not by accident. That's too perfect an accident. So you have to pay attention because you got to listen. If you listen and you stay faithful, the Lord will bless you. And if he doesn't bless you, he may bless someone so close to you that it will seem like the blessing was for you and you'll still be able to enjoy it. Go check out the book of Ruth. And sometimes the restoration comes from someone next to you. But the restoration will be so big that it'll flow over to you to make you feel like it was all for you. That's how I feel when I see Tiff so excited and I saw that baby. I'm like, yes, this may not be my first, but God knows it feels like it is. Because it's our first. And I say that, and it's funny how we always mess up people's heads. They go, is this your first child? Tiff will go, our first. He got six. What? They go, six. And all of a sudden, you get that negative look. But we don't care because we did it for the shock value. Because you know what? The truth can be shocking. But read my book to understand what I was and what I am, and then you'll understand why we take such pride in who we are. What that was is no longer. This is what it is right here. This is our first. This is our time to enjoy this blessing right here and any other blessing that comes with it. And we want it to be so great that we spill it over to everybody that's close to us. That's why we want you to share in it. That's why we want you to enjoy it. That's what those tears are for that you hear on the other end of that phone from her. It's because it took a lot of work, a lot of faith to get to this moment right here, and we still not even done. We just on the road. We ain't even kept to the burning bush yet. We can see it. So we got to get there. And we'll get there and take as many of you that we can with us. And if not, we'll get there first and hold the door open for you. But don't think it's just about us, because it's not. And tonight is not just about us. We're just the deliverers of the message. And the message is God is so very real. And God does answer prayers. Even prayers that you don't think that he's heard. Well, he's God. He hears everything. And when it comes, be ready. Be ready, because it may come at your worst moment, your greatest blessing. So with us coming to the end of a fantastic show, we're going to ask that you tune in next week, because then all these same people you won't hear from, but it's cool. For those of you that are interested in the rest of the seminar, we will basically pick up where we left off next Thursday.
And we have two more points.
No, we actually have. No, we have little things. We have roles, and we have playful love making. So we have three areas that we have to finish up, and we'll just talk about whatever else we're going to talk about at that moment. But like I said, keep praying, because this is just the start. Hard work is still to come. And so don't take anything for granted. Just take each day as the Lord gives it to you, and pray for a healthy and healthy baby and a healthy destiny and a healthy relationship. Pray for all that. Pray for it. And we're going to do the same for you. Baby doll?
Yes, love.
We got a couple minutes left. What you want to tell the people as you close out?
In a couple of minutes, I'm going to say thank you for tuning in, even if it was only thinking of what we were having. I appreciate it. We're preparing for the future. We're looking forward to KL's baptism on the 10th. We're looking forward to a healthy holiday, because there's a holiday coming up, buddy. Oh, my goodness. I'm grateful and I'm thankful, and that's all I have to say.
Well, you said a lot. I'm just going to say thank you. And I want to say to you, baby doll, that I love you dearly. I wouldn't want to go through this with anybody else. And I'm so happy for our baby. I can't wait to see our baby. And I am just ecstatic. And I want to say thank you for making me a very happy husband. And I want to say that I love
you. I love you too.
And with that, we're going to say good night. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight.
Good night.
It's a girl.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I
do
with my baby.
Yes. Set up on the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
And down, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right. lie. What you do to make me lose my mind? I just wanna give you, make love to you. If you wish you on a rocket fly, keep on loving till we touch the sky.